You're listening to a recording of a Bible study given at Calvary Fellowship in downtown Ottawa. For more information about our church, please visit us on the internet at calvaryottawa.ca. And now, let me invite you to open your mind, your heart, and your Bible for today's study.
Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we read, now, we have to stop just for a minute because there's a variance in the translations in English. Most of them are now, but some of the translations, the NIV, the New Living Translation, the New Revised Standard Version, all say some variation of one day or one afternoon. And the idea is that this event in Acts chapter 3 doesn't necessarily happen the next day or the next week or the next month, but it's just one day or one afternoon in this period of time, which you can convey with the word now, but not necessarily. And that's actually kind of a significant point in the flow of the story. So, now. I lost my place. Oh, there it is. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Some of the old translations say the ninth hour, which of course is the direct Greek. First hour was at what time, church? 6 a.m., which was earlier today than it was yesterday. Anyway, first hour, second, a man, verse 2, was lame from birth. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg, some of your translations have alms there, from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him. It's an interesting word there. Some of your translations say directed their gaze, fixing his eyes on him, or fixed his gaze, or fastened his eyes, or looking intently. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them. Some of your translations fixed his attention, gave heed, or looked at them eagerly, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, that's important because they didn't have toilet paper in those days, and the left hand was not the hand that you touch people with. It's the right hand. That's the one that has love. The right hand, and I'm going to have to change the way that I do my notes because I keep losing my place. Right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. I want to read to you the New Living Translation in that verse because it kind of smooths out a little bit of the Greek, gives you the feeling going on there. It says, quote, "Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him." Verse 11. "While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade, part of the temple. When Peter saw this, he ran away from the crowd." That's what I would have done. That's exactly what I would say. A crowd running towards me. But that's not what Peter did. Peter saw this. He addressed the people. Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us? Some of your translations say gaze or look intently or look earnestly at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness. Some of your translations, holiness or piety. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied. I love one of the translations that said disowned. You disowned before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied or rejected or disowned the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source, some of your translations, capital A, author, capital P, prince. You killed the source or author or prince of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. The New American Standard, I love it here, it says, a fact to which we are witnesses. It's a fact. There's no perspective. There's no experiencing it differently. It's a fact, which we are witnesses. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. Verse 17, and now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets. And what is he saying? He's saying, it was actually through your ignorance that God, his sovereignty, fulfilled what he had prophesied. Fascinating. That his Messiah would suffer. So look, this is a key point, because these are one of those places where you see the intersection of the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And you can see in this particular instance, God's sovereignty does not overpower the will of man. God's sovereignty outmaneuvers from the motivation of love, man's will. Very interesting. Why does he do that? In order to give man, actually, woman too, in order to give man or woman, actually, a free choice. What's the free choice? Here it is, the next verse. Look at this. Verse 19. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped or blotted out. That seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah or the Christ. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things, which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, and here Peter quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off. Some of your translations say destroyed from the people. In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and now Peter quotes from Genesis 22:18, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring or your seed. God raised up his servant. That's a key phrase here. This is Bible geek stuff. It's an allusion to Isaiah chapter 53, so that the people that were listening would have picked up on that phrase, right? His servant. God has raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. Okay. There's a bunch of stuff in there. Tons of stuff in there. Way more than we'll get to today. Way more that we can do justice to. Here's what jumped off the page at me as I was studying it, and I meditated on it all week. It's in verse 4. I'm sure you remember it, because it's an odd way to tell a story. It says, Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, look at us. Why? Well, you have to remember this. These details are not random. They're intentional. And sometimes these details can take us a layer deeper in the text than the surface story. Well, what's the surface story? Well, the surface story is very simple. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. One afternoon, two of the original 120 people on their way to prayer in the afternoon encounter a lame man. Through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the lame man is healed. It causes a scene at the prayer meeting, which opens the door for an opportunity for evangelism for a large crowd. And as we continue to chapter 4, which we won't do today, we find out that 5,000 people respond to the invitation and are added to the church. But that's not how the story is told. It's told with so much more detail. And the detail about them staring at the man and asking him to look at them is actually unnecessary for the simple story. But there's an important detail there. And Luke makes sure to put it in. So here's the question. What can me and you, glean as a church here in Ottawa, 2019, stormy, snowy day in March that we're all done with? We're over. We're seeing 9 in the forecast this week, and we're just going, hallelujah. I'll actually be able to see my neighbor's car over the snowbank, kind of thing. What does the Holy Spirit want to say to us and to encourage us with the way that he does things? Especially here in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to make a bunch of observations. Number one. Notice that it was not the whole group that the Holy Spirit worked through. It wasn't when they were all together in one place, in one accord, waiting on the Lord. It was two people. Out of the original 120, or the additional 3,000, two people that God decided to move through. I'm fascinated by that because we have such a propensity as a church. We love to be together and we love to see the church get together. And we think, oh, what we need is we need to get everybody together in unity and then something amazing will happen. And the Holy Spirit goes, no, I just need, in this case, I just needed these two guys. Notice that it's Peter, who, of course, we're interested in from Acts chapter 2, but it's interesting because he's paired up with John. Peter, who's clearly the worst of the disciples. I mean, he's right there next to Judas, right? Because he denied the Lord 3 times. Now he's the bold witness. You see this. You see, the Lord's like, I don't need the whole church to get together. I don't even need the best guy. I'll take the worst guy. And I'll use that guy. In the Gospels, it's very interesting. He's always mentioned with Andrew. He's always paired up with Andrew. That's his brother. It's his natural brother. Or he gets grouped up in a group of 3 with Peter, James, and John. James and John are brothers. They're Peter's cousins. But this pairing of Peter and John, this is the first time that this pairing shows up. And John doesn't say nothing. He's just kind of there, participating. But they're there together, and the story is told with them together. And Luke says, you know, and John was there too. And he said, look at us. And, you know, and then that people were looking at Peter and John. And, you know, it's fascinating to me. Sometimes, it's just our presence that can encourage and support and strengthen somebody else that's doing ministry. When I get invited to speak places, I love taking somebody with me. I love experiencing it with somebody. I love the conversation on the way there. I love the conversation on the way back. I love that somebody there in the room is praying for me and praying for the people. I love that. And then I love to watch what the Holy Spirit does through that particular person. And if the Holy Spirit kind of sets some things up for them and that particular, you know, that particular, I just love that. And then I love being the silent person to go along with somebody. I get to do this with Jen sometimes. Jen gets an opportunity to go sing, and I get to go, and I don't get to say much because the whole thing's in French. And so I just get to pray and eat the snacks and drive and hang out with Jen, wonder if my kids have killed each other by then, or the babysitter, or whatever. You know, I love doing that. I love, you know, there's a big role for somebody being the person that's the speaker, and somebody just, hey, I'm just here to be with you. That's okay. God uses quiet people. Praise the Lord, right? So often, you know, we want the whole church together, and we want our best, most vocal people, you know, kind of out there, and the Lord's going, no. I'll take the guy that just disowned me a couple weeks ago. I'll use that one, and then I'll put him with the guy that doesn't say anything. What else? Notice this. Notice that the miracle doesn't happen during the prayer meeting like it did in Acts chapter 2 after this extended period of waiting on the Lord. No. Notice that it doesn't happen after the prayer meeting when we're all juiced up and hyped up and ready, you know, in fellowship with the Lord. All right, we're ready for action. No. This thing happens on the way to the prayer meeting. But wait. But we were going there to, what? Yeah. The Lord's going, hey, listen, I can move anytime I want. I can show up to the prayer meeting before you guys do. You don't have to invite me to come. I mean, I can already be there. Notice that to reach the crowd, the Lord chose to bless one person, an individual. You know, so often our natural thinking is, well, you know, if we're gonna actually make an impact in this city, if we're gonna make an impact in this community, if we're gonna make an impact in this crowd, we gotta get a group together, we gotta get a crowd together, and then we gotta preach the gospel to them. And the Lord's going, save your effort. How about you draw your attention to one particular person and watch what I can do through one individual. Isn't that interesting? He impacts 5,000 people in one day. That's explosive growth for the church. And he does it by having Peter and John, two people, direct their attention to one person. Isn't that interesting? The Lord has a totally different way of doing things sometimes than our natural thinking. What else? Well, it must have been some kind of outstanding individual that the Lord wanted to reach, like a leader. Very influential person. Yeah, the guy was influential, but not in a positive way. He was influential in a negative way. He was a beggar. He was a disabled person. And at this point in his life, his contribution to society was to ease the conscience of worshipers by giving them an opportunity to give to somebody that wasn't as fortunate, blessed as they were. He was, at this point in his life, he was all problem. He was the kind of person that people ignored. In chapter 4, we find out that he was over 40 years old. This is a man with no hope, other than the charity and the goodwill of worshipers. But the Holy Spirit wanted to bless and wanted to show the power available in the name of Jesus Christ through his life. And so where did the Lord go? Here's where he went. He went down to the very bottom of society, not to the top. Isn't that interesting? So often we're looking, well, we've got to influence people at the top. So let's get an appointment with somebody at the top, and then we can really actually make some things happen. And the Lord's going, hey, check out this guy over here. Why don't you look at him? Watch what I can do. I can use anybody. Notice that the man was regularly at the gate begging. Many have speculated at how many times Peter and John or any one of the other 3,000 people in the church may have passed by this guy on their way to the prayer or on their way to the temple. Some have even said that it's possible and even probable that Jesus himself may have passed by that man in some earlier time. This is the power of that one little phrase, now or one day or one afternoon, to start the story. The Holy Spirit said, this is the day that I'm picking. These are the guys that I'm going to choose. This is the person that I'm going to bless. And what am I going to do? I'm going to bring this all to the people and give them an opportunity to choose. It's fascinating. It's a good reminder. It's a very good reminder for us as a church. We are not to be led by need. Need is everywhere, constant. It's never going to stop. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's where all the fun is. That's where all the joy is. That's where all the power is. Hey, listen, that's where there's no burnout. That's where there's rest. That's where there's wisdom. It's his timing, his will, and we become the embodiment, the physical presence of his mind, his will, his power, his life. It becomes flesh in us. Recognize in this story, is this interesting to you guys? Seeing this? You seeing this? It's correcting some of the things that we think, eh, about ministry, correcting some of the things we think about evangelism, church planting, outreach. We're going, well, yeah, it's the same as last week. We need to turn our attention to the Holy Spirit. Recognize that even the faith, Peter says, comes, very interesting phrase, it's in every translation, by or through Jesus Christ. This is what Peter says in verse 16. Peter attributes the entire episode, the entire miracle, to Jesus. I don't want to go too far down that road. I do want you to see this, though. Did you notice how that after Peter speaks to him, he reaches out and grabs him by the right hand and lifts him up to his feet? It's incredible. It's incredible. Who had the faith? Was it the lame man that had the faith after he heard God's word? No. That thing happened because Peter took action based on God's word. Fascinating, isn't it? You say, Andy, what are you trying to say? Well, here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't buy this garbage. That's a good word. Don't buy this garbage that the reason that you weren't healed or that this person wasn't healed was because they didn't have enough faith. In this story, the lame man's got zilch. The whole thing is Peter and his confidence. Why? Because he reaches out and grabs the man by the hand. He says, hey, man, let me help you up. I'm going to help you to trust that God's word that was just spoken over you is true. Can you see this scene? Is he, you know, John's going, whoa, you know, kind of thing. And just, you know, Peter grabs him and he gets right, like the guy's feet don't work. But as he's grabbing him, as the guy's coming up off the mat, that's what the New Living Translation said. As he's doing it, as the guy's legs fall underneath them, hit the ground, this is when the strength happens. As the guy, listen to this very closely, church. As the guy started to put weight on it, power. But it was almost passive for the lame man. It was almost passive. It was almost like, what are you doing? You know, kind of thing, right? Whoa, what's going on? And Peter goes, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. It's Jesus. It's his name, and it's faith in his name. And I'm going to help you get to the place where you're trusting that it's true. That's incredible, isn't it? I got a little excited, sorry. But we do this in ministry all the time, guys. We do this in ministry all the time. We proclaim God's word. That's step one, is just being able to be faithful to proclaim God's word. You know, and listen, Peter's not walking down the street going, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. John, get me to a hospital. I got the hot hand. You know, that's not what's going on here, you know. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is they're on their way to prayer, and it's like the Holy Spirit just grabs Peter and says, hey, look at this guy. Hey, look at me, right? And then in the name of Jesus and Nazareth, rise and walk. He's just grabbing the guy, pulling. We do this in ministry. We speak God's word over people, and then what do? We put them in the place where they now have the opportunity to trust that it's true and put weight on it and depend upon it. But so often, it's actually our faith that's initiating the action. This faith that comes through Jesus Christ. Man, I know he's going to come through. Let me help you to your feet. The guy's like, hey, have you been there in your life where you were kind of like the lame person in this particular area of your life? And somebody comes along and goes, hey, man, you need to get up on your feet. You're like, what are you talking about? I've never been able to do this my entire life. I've never been able to. What are you doing? I can walk. You know what I'm talking about? Most of us are sitting in this room because somebody did that. You know? All right. Let's keep going. Notice how Peter is acting almost exactly the same as Jesus acts in the Gospels. Isn't it interesting? You're reading it and you're like, Peter, you're doing what Jesus would do. You're doing what Jesus has done. Jesus is in heaven, yet, this is the amazing thing, he is still present on earth through his body, through the church, through, listen closely, individual believers spread out all over the place, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter is embodying Jesus in his will, in his spirit, in his power. Notice also, I could just keep going all day with these. Notice also, Peter does not invite the people to church. Isn't that interesting? What does he invite him to? He invites him into a different way of relating to God. He invites him into faith in Jesus' name, rather than their own actions, rather than their own behavior, rather than their own abilities. He's saying there's a whole other way to relate to God. Look at this way. I'm inviting you into faith in Jesus Christ. That is when somebody crosses that bridge, that's when church starts to make a whole lot of sense. Notice in his message, the allowance for ignorance. Isn't it interesting? So many of our evangelical or evangelistic messages, so many of the times that we share the gospel, we get to the part where you're a sinner and you've always been a sinner and you lied and you got to repent right now. And we never let them off the hook. Just condemn them. Peter doesn't do that. He goes, you killed the source of life. Woo. You know, kind of, woo. Yeah. And then he goes, but I know you did it in ignorance. Oh, yeah, I did. I didn't know I did that. I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't know it had those consequences. So he kind of lets him off the hook. And then he goes, but now that you know, now you got to make a choice. Kind of thing. Very interesting. Why? Because it's gracious. It's kind. It's loving. It's honest. Very interesting, isn't it? Notice that he talks about seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's another way of expressing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, a life that overflows with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Hey, listen, that guy that was crippled, as he's leaping and jumping and praising God, he still has the same amount of food that he had 10 minutes earlier. He still lives in the same place that he lived in 10 minutes earlier. He still has the same set of friends. He still, there's a lot of things that are still in his life are still the same. He still, in some ways, has the same problems that he had before. But in other ways, everything's changed. Isn't that interesting? His abilities changed. Why? Because of the power of God. That's seasons of refreshing from the Lord. What's the point of the message? Okay, I think the point of the message is in verse 22 and 23. And this is when Peter quotes from Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must," here's the key word, "listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not," what's the word there? "Listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people." What's the point of the message? You need to turn from the way that you're living, and you need to now listen to Jesus Christ. Here's the background of this thing that's going on. This whole episode started when Peter saw the man who was lame. Peter looks intently at this guy, staring at him. He's looking intently at him. And then, incredibly, he says to the guy, "Look at us." Then the man's healed. And then we have in verse 9, all the people saw the lame man walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 10, they recognize him. That's sight. They say, I recognize that guy. That's sight. Verse 12, Peter sees the crowd coming at him. And then he asks the crowd, what's his question to the crowd? "Why are you staring at us?" You see, it's all sight, 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 saw, 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 see, 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 look, 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 stare. Recognize. You remember, he wanted the lame man to look at him. He knew the crowd was there because they saw the lame man. Here's the shift, and here's the point that I think we can see here. Peter uses, welcomes, and acknowledges that people are looking at him, but then he takes their attention and he turns it away from himself, away from John, away from him, who represent the church, and he turns it not towards necessarily looking at Jesus, he turns hearing, listening to Jesus, switches senses. See, what's the big faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's faith in the truth. And our culture right now is awash in how you see things. Because how you see things, you can be tricked. But faith comes through hearing. And so that we begin to rely further on hearing rather than what we see. Isn't that fascinating? Do you see that kind of running through the passage? Very interesting. You see, Andy, I don't understand what the big deal is with that. This summer, Camp Iowa, one of the young men pulled me aside and asked me privately, "How much attention am I supposed to draw to myself?" It was a great question, especially for him, because he was a very attractive man, very attractive young man. He was the kind of guy that when he walked in the room, everybody knew that he walked in the room. When he made a joke, everybody knew he had made a joke. When he walked out of the room, everybody walked out of the room, and all the girls went, "Aw." He knew he was an attractive guy. He knew he drew attention because of the way that he looked. And so what he was saying was, how much attention am I supposed to draw to myself? He's like everybody else. He's like all of us. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We want to be recognized. We want to be respected. But he had this dilemma because he did not want to distract people from Jesus. But at the same time, he's in a bit of a quandary because he's a cabin leader. And in order to be a good cabin leader, you have to be seen. And you have to be heard. And you're modeling. And you're an example. You understand? But he's like, but how far do I go into that? Because what I really want people to see and what I really want these cabin, you know, these kids in the cabin to see is I really want them to see Jesus. How attractive should I be? I have some control over this. How attractive should I be? How much attention should I draw to myself? We have that exact same challenge here on the platform. Worship team, announcements, me, any guest speaker. Every week, you guys look at me. You stare at me. Well, unless you're sleeping. Some of you sleep, which is okay. It's okay to rest in Jesus. If this is the only place that you're sleeping, sleep, bro. The fruit of the Spirit will be over your life. When you wake up, you'll be patient, you'll be kind, you won't be grumpy anymore. It's good. Glad we could provide that relief. Some of you guys are looking at me. Some of you are just waiting for the squirrel to come back in the window back behind me. I just want to say I have to have feedback. I have to know what's going on. Some of you actually remember the last time I wore this shirt. I don't remember the last time I wore this shirt, but some of you guys are like, I remember that shirt. That was this Bible study. You know, it's just the way your brain works, you know. Just by standing on the platform, I'm saying, look at me. It's funny, last week I'm changing my hair, you guys know that, but I do that every year or so. And last week it just went berserk. And my wife loves me. She tells me the truth. She says, Andy, your hair was terrible last week. I can't believe anybody would actually listen to you with hair like that, you know. And I said, I agree. It just, amen. I need help. You know, there's some of you guys, some of us, we don't want anybody to see us. We're the kind of people that we don't want to be noticed, we don't want to be seen, we don't want to be pointed out, we don't want people to look at us, we don't want people to stare at us. And so some of us, it's going to get a little awkward, but some of us, we kind of come in late places, we leave early places, some of us kind of stand to the back, find a little corner. Some of us, our clothing and the colors that we pick and the styles that we pick and the clothes that we pick, it basically says there's nothing to see here. I don't want to draw any attention at all. But then there's others of us, and I have a friend who's a pastor, and I'm not going to name any names, but you guys would probably recognize him right away. And you cannot forget his name after you met him because he leaves a mark. Like, between the clothing, between the beard, the hair, and then the personality, it's like, whoa, what whirlwind just came in here? You know, it just, all the attention in the room just gets sucked up into that particular person. You know what I like doing with people like that? I like combining with other ones that are like that just to see which one's stronger. You know, I like to see that. It just, kind of a little sick thing I got going anyway, But he's that kind of person, you know, he just walks in and it's like, boom, all the attention. He just commands all of the attention in the room. So, but we have some power over this. How much attention am I supposed to draw to myself? Do I want people to look at me? Do I want people to see me? Do I want people to stare at me? And then when they do, what do I want them to see? What am I going to do with that attention? All through this chapter, here's what you need to see. All through this chapter, all of these words, see, look, recognize, these are all unnecessary details for this particular story. But they're details that have been included because there's an example for us. Peter says, look at us. Not only does he appear in a way that he's saying, people want you to look, he actually says to this guy, I want you to take a good, hard look at me. I'm drawing your attention to me. Look at us. And then he does something that, you know, this is some of us. This is something that some of us don't do. We don't want anybody to see us. We don't want anybody to look at us. Don't ask me any questions. But Peter says, no, look at me. And then he does something fantastic. He becomes vulnerable and honest about who he is. Because in the next line, he says, I don't have any silver or gold. Who says that? What he says is, I want you to take a good hard look at me because I'm not the Savior. I'm not the one that you're really supposed to have attention. And then he turns him, and what does he do? He says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. What does he do? He proclaims God's word over his life. And then he grabs him and picks him up and says, I want you to trust that that is true. He switched him from seeing to hearing and trusting. You see, Andy, what are you saying? Let's not hide our light under a bushel. It's okay to draw attention to yourself. Not only is it okay, it's encouraged. The lame man, when he was healed, drew attention to himself automatically. We don't hear Peter and John. They're not in the story. Peter and John, as they're going through Solomon's colonnade, and this guy looks like an antelope, you know, next to him, right? Like he's just like, wah, you know, kind of thing. And you don't hear Peter and John in the story going, shh, it's the prayer meeting, man. What's wrong with you, dude? Come on, man. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? Wah, you know, like he's just, wah, right? And everybody's looking at him. Guys, we need to live out the honesty of the truth of what God's done inside of our hearts and inside of our lives. Are we the complete package? No. Absolutely not. I try very hard to make sure that you guys know that I'm not the complete package. Right? Right? Because I'm not. And some of you guys know me and you're like, it's a wonder that God uses that guy. Every time I go back to Florida, I'm reminded, it's a wonder that God uses that guy. You know, that kind of thing. Just, it's a miracle, you know. And so, but this is the point, is that people see us for who we are. But this is the thing, is that it's hard for us, number one, to have people look at us. And it's hard for us, number two, to be honest and to be vulnerable and be frank and be sober with them. And say, no, I actually am not all that. What I want to do is I want to encourage you to put your trust in God's word and the truth of who he is. He has done something to us. We are an anomaly to the world. It does draw attention. How do you have peace and joy and hope in your situation? Because in your particular situation in life, it's burying everybody around you who goes through the same thing. But you're not buried. You have hope. There's joy in the midst of it. There's strength in the midst of it. And people watch, they watch our lives. They look at us and they go, how do you have hope? How do you have joy? How do you have strength? We've got to be faithful to tell them the truth. How is it that you're still married after all these years? Why are you unmarried and you're not interested in debauchery every weekend? What do you got going on in your life? Because that doesn't make sense. Guys, we're to live lives full of life because we're connected to Jesus, who is the author and the prince and the source of life. Drawing attention isn't the dilemma. Wear the loud shirt for the glory of Jesus Christ. Don't fit in. Cut a new groove. You know what I mean? But we need to be honest all the way through, faithfully directing people, not to seeing, but to hearing God's word, and then putting their faith, putting their trust, depending upon what they've heard from God. It was wonderful. What's happening? There's more. There's much more in this chapter. We got to stop. I have enough to chew on from just the things that we've said. How about you? Is it true?
Thank you for listening. I trust you've been blessed and encouraged. My name is Ike Ikagwani. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
I am your daughter, your child. And I am loved, so loved, mama. So concerned, broken, you found me undone. And you're making me new. Yes, I can live in your truth. Yes, we have clothed ourselves with Christ. There is no black. as we have clothed ourselves.